Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye, the Lord, everybody, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We praise God for being here on today. And I'm thankful today. I am very, very thankful today. I am very, very happy today. I'm happy that I'm excited, you are here with us listening to the broadcast on today in Jesus' name. If you're listening to me right now, you are blessed. Amen. Not because of the sound of my voice, but you are blessed because if you're listening to me right now, you are in the land of the living, and that is a reason to give God praise, and that's a reason to be happy. That's a reason to smile. That's a reason just being alive is a reason to just be excited, amen, because many people are dying and they're leaving out of here various ways and in various times and unexpected times as well. But you're here, amen, and we praise God for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. We say welcome again. Welcome to the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. Amen. We give God the glory and the honor in Jesus' name, who is the head of our life. Amen. We also give honor to the watchman on the wall of this great network, the Spirit Alive Network. Amen. Apostle Cook, God bless you in Jesus' name. Also, I want to give honor to my pastor, Pastor William Tuggle, and First Lady Cosette Tuggle in their absence in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all in Jesus' name. God bless all of our listeners and the Spirit Alive family in Jesus' name. And also, last but not least, my beautiful wife, amen, Kiswana Tuggle. Amen. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, it has just been brought to my attention. Now, and Lord brought it to my attention. I'm not going to say a person, but it was through a person that the Lord brought it to my attention just before we went on the air. And I've had this happen to me before where the Lord has told me, because it's his word, amen, but he told me to change the topic today. And so this is what we're doing today. I thought the Lord, because it was on my mind, but I didn't say anything, and it was confirmation that what I had on my mind this week was supposed to be the topic today. And I'm glad that we are all tuned into the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of the Lord is our director. It is our direction. Amen. If you don't think the Spirit of God is your direction, you have no reason to walk with God. Amen. If the Spirit of the Lord was not directing us, we would have no reason to walk with God. Amen. Because he is our direction to heaven. Amen. The final destination is heaven. But now, today, I'm going to try to do this the way the Lord has me doing this today. And we've talked about this before. And Lord, I'm going to ask the Lord to lead me on doing this because this is not nice, you know, I know everybody likes messages or teachings about, you know, how they're going to gain and how they're going to prosper in their life. And this is a prosperous topic today, but it is a prosperous for our soul. Amen. And we're going to be talking about listening to voices. Amen. Listening to voices. There are some voices that we hear, and some of these voices that we hear, and I'm not talking about physically like psychotic voices or anything like that. I'm talking about listening to the voice of the Lord and listening to the voice of people and the devil. That's what I'm talking about today. That's what we're talking about. When you listen to the wrong voice, it can lead you in the wrong direction. There are times where people and even some preachers have led people astray. The Bible says, woe unto them. Woe unto them that scattereth my sheep. These are talking about preachers. These are talking about preachers that preach the wrong thing. That verse in there where it says, woe unto them that scattereth my sheep. These are talking about the preachers that are preaching the wrong messages, preaching either prosperity messages or messages not of God. They try to twist the word of God, and there's nothing wrong. I'm going to say this. There's nothing wrong with prosperity. There's nothing wrong with being prosperous in the natural. God wants us to prosper us in the natural. But he also wants, the main place that he wants us to prosper in is in the spirit. Because without the spirit prospering, you're really not prospering at all. Amen? The Bible tells us, the Bible declares unto us, we prosper as our soul prospers. And in this prosperity age, I guess you could say, there's a lot of preachers that preach prosperity, and the way they preach prosperity is you can be prosperous. You're prosperous if you have a new car. You're prosperous if you have a new house. You're prospering if you're giving to their ministry. Your prosperity, I'm not a one that is scared to go up against any wrong preacher that's preaching false doctrine. I've never been scared to go up against them. Will never be. And I will tell you this, that in the Bible declares to us that we must speak out. We must speak up and speak out against the wrong doctrine, because there are people that are ordained to pervert the gospel. It's just that simple. The Bible lets us know. So we're going to turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 4, and if you could. So there won't be any static. I ask that we mute the mics, please, if you can. Amen. We're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 1. And we're going to read. First, we're going to start at verse number 1, and then we're going to go to verse number 2. And Then we're going to go down to verse number 6 and number 7. And then we're going to go over to verse number 16 in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Amen. And it reads, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Dropping down to verse number 6. "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, notionally up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attended, but refuse profane and old wise fables." Amen. Now, I want to stop right there, because in these verses that we've read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, this lets us know right here about false doctrine and about being this new age of preaching, that some will depart, some that have been in the faith. And it says "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." I wanna talk about that verse real quick. In this verse, it lets us know that some shall depart in the latter times, in which we are living in now, that some shall depart from the faith. Mm-hmm. "Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." What does this mean? What this means is that some shall be in the faith. Some have been in the faith. Some might have been in the faith for years. And what is the faith? In the doctrine of the Word of God. Amen. What they were brought up in, the doctrine that the apostles preached, the Word of God. That's the doctrine. Amen. That's the faith that we're talking about. Amen. But they have gone astray because they've turned off their spiritual ears from God, and they've turned on their natural ears and listened to false doctrine themselves. They turned away from the faith. Some say, it says right here, "Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." They have turned over their ears to seducing spirits. Anytime somebody tells you something against the Word of God, they are trying to seduce you in doctrines of devils. Because anytime it goes against the Word of God, it is of the devil. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a sinner. I don't care if it's a preacher. I don't care. If it goes against the Word of God, even if they use the Word of God, it's still not right. Because the devil himself, he did it with Adam in the Garden of Eden. He did it with Eve. He did it with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He started it there. He added a little word. He added a little lie. Because the Lord told Adam and Eve that, hey, once you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. Right? What did the devil do? He added a little word in there. He added a little lie. What did he tell Eve? Oh, no, you won't surely die. That was a lie.
Packs of cool 100s.
Yeah, you won't die. You won't die. You can't, you won't die. But let me tell you this. When we get into the Word of God, when we go deep into the Word of God, we see that people will sometimes depart from the faith because they have itching ears. Sometimes preachers have itching ears. They'll tell you it don't take
Thank
all that.
You.
Amen. Can we mute our mic, please? Amen.
Have a blessed day, ma'am.
Amen. Can we mute our mics, please? Amen. Amen. We must understand that when it comes to the Word of God, we cannot turn away from it. We must listen to the voice of the Lord. We must stand on the Word of God. Amen. Let's go to the book of Jude. Let's go to the book of Jude, and let's see Jude verses 3 and 4. Because this is another bit in the Word of God that shows us that we should stick to the faith. Now, we know what the faith is when it talks about it in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. But what is the faith? We said that it was the doctrine, right? Well, in Jude, verses 3 and 4, it tells us what the faith is. What is the faith? Amen? It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye shall earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Now, what is the faith? What is the doctrine? It is the salvation of God. Now, salvation is the baptism, is repentance, the baptism in Jesus' name, and being filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, turning away from all sin. Amen. That is the common salvation. That is the truth. That is the faith. Amen. This is what we're talking about today. Amen. Amen. It says, common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye shall earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Verse number 4, for there are certain men crept in unaware. This is, and when it says certain men, when it says certain men, I know it says men, but them men had to get seduced by the spirit, the wrong spirits. Amen. Them men had to be seduced by the wrong spirits. And then spirits then attached themselves to these men that Jude is in the book of Jude that he's talking about. So when it says these certain men have crept in unaware, it's talking about certain spirits have crept in. We have allowed certain uncircumcised, and I'm going to use that term, uncircumcised spirits to creep in the church. We've allowed it. This is where First Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 come in. In the latter time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They have allowed these spirits to creep in their life, and they've allowed these spirits to creep in their life and take over their life. And not only have they taken over their life, but they have crept in the church because it's on them. And I feel the Spirit of the Lord, and I'm feeling the Spirit of God right now when I say this. When a person allows the enemy to use them to bring profane word across the pulpit, I'm telling you now, there's two things that need to happen. Number one, that person that is preaching false doctrine needs to sit down. And the people that are listening to the false doctrine or hear the false doctrine and have the Holy Ghost, if you really, really have the Holy Ghost, what you need to do, you need to get up and get out. You need to get up and get out. Because any time a person is preaching false doctrine and you sit in that, after a while, you'll start to succumb to that false doctrine. I done seen it happen. I done seen it happen. Trust me. Trust and believe me. I done seen it happen. You cannot, and I'm saying this, and anybody, and I'll go up against any spirit, I'm not scared. You cannot be a perfective witness with sin in your life. You cannot be a perfective witness because the Bible lets us know in Acts 1 and 8 that after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have power and be witnesses. All preachers are witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what are witnesses? Witnesses are people that preach, teach, and live the word of God. That's all they are. They're servants to the word of God. They preach it, amen, they teach it, and they live it. And if you're not doing those three things, you are being a hindrance to somebody. Now, you can talk all day about how much you love Jesus. You can talk all day about how much God, you can really get into a fiery testimony service or a fiery praise service, and, Jesus is good to me, Jesus is good to me, and bust a leg of hell wide open by the way you live your life. See, God is not just looking at lip service. He's looking at life service. God is looking at life service, but he's also looking to you to be a witness. And some preachers, I'm not going to say most, but some of these preachers that are preaching false doctrine today, I'm going to tell you now, they're either in the sin themselves, or they see the people in the sin, and they see the glitz and the glamour of ministry, and they don't want them to leave because they're paying hefty tithes, and they got a big ministry or whatever. Look, people's souls are on the line. People's souls are on the line. And I don't tremble and shake when I say it. When we preach, when we teach, when we live in front of people, it must be all about Jesus. We must preach and teach the word of God no matter what. The Bible, and you can sit over there, a preacher can sit over there and say, I love Jesus, all you want to. Because there's going to be some people, there's going to be some preachers that bust the leg of hell wide open. There's going to be some saints that bust the leg of hell wide open. And I'm not talking about sinners right now. All because you chose to preach and teach the word of God, but you held back a little for yourself. You let the glitz and the glamour of ministry blind your eyesight. So you let the people die. You letting the people die. All because you got a big-time ministry, or you think you got a big-time ministry, which really ain't no ministry if you letting the people die. If you letting the people do whatever they want to do, if you preaching it's okay to do whatever you want to do, you can once saved, always saved, and you letting the people die, you really ain't got no ministry. All you doing is sinning yourself. You're a sinner, and you need to repent. You're a sinner. You're sending people to death. You, along with everybody else, you might say, well, Brother Adam, you're condemning people to hell. No, I'm not. I'm not condemning nobody to hell. I don't want nobody to go to hell, quite frankly. But everybody ain't going to heaven. The Bible says hell enlarges itself daily. And if hell is enlarging itself daily, it ain't just talking about sinners. It's talking about every walk of life in sin. And that's why, I'm not afraid to go here, because this whole thing of these prosperity preachers, because I'm gonna hit the we gonna hit this today. We're going to hit this today. I ain't going to say because I ain't hitting nothing. The Lord is hitting this today. Amen. These prosperity preachers, and I was talking to a preacher today, and we was talking about it, and that's when the Lord told me, do this. That's what I'm doing. Doing what the Lord tells me to do. But when we listen to prosperity preachers, now, like I said earlier, before the show started, there's nothing wrong with prosperity. Nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with prospering in the natural. There's nothing wrong with, you getting your job, you getting your car, you getting your house. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you put Jesus first. And there are a lot of people that are preaching this stuff that are not putting Jesus first. Like I said, some of these preachers that are preaching prosperity messages are not putting Jesus first. The Bible declares in Colossians 3:17, it declares to us that we must do everything in Jesus' name. How do we know? Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you might say, well, they're doing that in Jesus' name. No, they're not. Because the spirit behind it. There's a spirit behind it. And if you're in tune with God, you'll be able to see it. If they're always talking about money, 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 they ain't doing it for Jesus. They're not doing it for Jesus. I'm tell you that now. They're doing it for themselves. if they're always talking about, if they never ever preach salvation, and I'm not talking about that watered down stuff either. Oh, if you just confess the Lord Jesus and he'll come into your heart and all that. Look, let me tell you something. See, we're about to get to the nitty gritty of salvation in this too. That right there is in the Bible, that if you confess the Lord Jesus, you know, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, that's in the Bible. It is in there. But, and there is a but, also Acts 2 and 38 is in there too. They leave out. Anytime you watch TBN, and I'm gonna hit this today. We're gonna hit this today. Trinitarians, and I don't mean to attack anybody's religion, because this is not what this is about. But we're gonna expose the devil today. We are going to expose the devil with the word of God. Trinitarian belief is that, first of all, Trinitarian belief is not in the Bible. You will not see three gods in heaven. That's false doctrine. TBN is a Trinitarian broadcasting network. The form of their salvation plan, I guess you could say, they believe in Matthew 28:19. Matthew 28:19 is not a form of salvation. That is that Matthew 28:19 is the call to preach. Amen. That was the command to preach in Jesus' name, to teach and to preach in Jesus' name. God gave in Matthew 28:19, it did not call for people to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It did not. Jesus did not say baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. What he was telling his disciples, he was telling them to baptize, to preach, and to teach in his name, just as Colossians 3:17. Matthew 28:19 and Colossians 3:17 back up each other if we go deep into the scriptures. The Bible declares, and as we read, Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so if we go to Matthew 28:19, who is the Father? Jesus. How do we know? John chapter 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. So we know who the Father is. And if we look in St. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, and then we drop down to verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was Jesus. The Word is God. God is the Father. If we take John chapter 10, verse 30, and John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14, we take those two verses right there, we know who the Father is. Boom. Now, who? The Father, the Son. Now, who's the Son? Matthew 1:21. For she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins. That's the Son. Okay, so we know who the Son is. John 3:16 backs up Matthew 1:21. Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now, look at John 3:16. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Those two verses go together. So now we know who the Son is. Now, who is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 26. Amen? Let's go there real quick just to show you. John chapter 14, verse 26. And it reads, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." Now, this is Jesus talking. Jesus is talking here, "whom the Father will send in my name." This is why in Matthew 28:19, Jesus was talking there too. This is why Jesus was saying, "teach, preach, and baptize in my name." Amen. He was talking in Matthew 28:19. This is why he confirmed all three verses, all these verses that I'm talking about, he confirmed it in Matthew 28:19. He didn't say be baptized in the name in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Those are titles. These are just titles given to Jesus. He is the Father. He is the Son. He is the Holy Ghost. This is where we see he's showing us the name that is given to the plan of salvation, which is Jesus. Which is Jesus. Amen. And this is what the Trinity, if you go on TBN, if you go on the Word Network, if you look on their websites, they'll tell you the way to salvation is Matthew 28:19. That is not salvation. They'll tell you Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. Matter of fact, let's go there real quick. Let's go to Romans. Amen. Because the Lord is here to expose the false doctrine. You gotta listen to wise teaching. Amen. Not fables. Amen. Let's go to Romans. Amen. Romans chapter number 10. And starting at verse number 9. These are the two verses that people in false doctrine believe. They'll tell you Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, and they'll tell you Matthew 28:19. And both of these verses are in the Bible, but they take the verses out of context, and they leave it just as that. That's all they do. They do not preach Acts 2:38. They don't talk about it. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has risen him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, they leave out verse number 10. Watch this. Verse number 10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." That's the coming up to. So when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, what are you confessing? You can't confess. This is why I say it sometimes on the broadcast. You can't confess something that you don't have. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse number 10, number 9. Let's go to Romans. This is why. This is why. Romans chapter number 8, verse 9. Amen? This is why I said you cannot confess something that you don't have. All right? Let's read it. But ye are not in the flesh. And this is Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So how are you going to confess something that you don't have? If you don't have the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, how can you confess what you don't have? How? The Bible declares you confess the Lord Jesus. Okay, the Jesus is a spirit. He's a spirit, right? He came, he died, went back to heaven. Amen. He's omnipresent. Amen. He's a spirit. How can we confess the Lord Jesus if we don't know what we're confessing? We can confess that he's good to us. Yes, he's good. But if you don't have his spirit on the inside of you, you're none of his. You're none of his. You really don't know about Jesus. You know of Jesus, but you don't know about Jesus. That's what we're trying to get over to people today. That if you don't have his spirit, and this is what false teachers teach. They don't teach this. See, this is the strong meat of the word of God. This is not the sincere milk. See, this goes into righteousness and holiness. When you start taking on the strong meat of the word of God, then you start building up into righteousness and in holiness. But you have to have the Holy Ghost to be able to sit in holy places. And because the Bible declares in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, that we are a royal priesthood. You can sit in royal places, but you have to have the Holy Ghost first to be royal. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You cannot walk in holiness without the Holy Ghost. I don't know why I'm going here. I don't know who this is for. But you can't confess something that you don't have. How do we receive it? Well, Matthew 28:19 is the leading up, is telling us who to, what name to teach and preach and to baptize in. But they don't tell you that. These false preachers don't tell you that. They just leave it at Romans chapter 8, verse 9. They don't include verse number 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. They just leave it right there. These are the two verses that they use. If you watch, and if you go on their web, I had a person in my family get in, and I'm not ashamed. I'm not afraid to go up against false doctrine at any time. I don't care who it's through. I'm 36 years old. I ain't afraid of nothing, especially when it comes to the Word of God. And when I say ain't afraid of nothing, I mean the word of God. I ain't afraid to declare the word of God to nobody. I don't care if it's family, friends, other clergy. I don't care. If you preaching falseness and you come to me, don't bring your falseness to me. Because I am not a human garbage can. This is the way we need to be. Now, I'm not saying be like me, because I'm nothing without God. I'm nothing without Jesus Christ. But we need to have that. We need to hold people accountable, and we need to hold ourselves accountable. And in holding ourselves accountable, we have to walk in holiness. We have to walk in righteousness. We have to walk in the common salvation that was once delivered. We have to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. This is the salvation that was delivered. This was the faith. That's why the Bible says, now faith. Now faith. What does that mean? This now faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is the power of God. Faith is the power of God. It is his word. That's why it says now faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Why? Because of the power that it has. That's why Acts 1 and 8 says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. Power to know what God wants from you. Power to live right. Power to talk right. Power to be a witness. Power to stand up for the word of God. Power to tell the devil no. Power to tell men that do not believe this thing. You're able to stand up like Peter did. Able to stand up like Paul and Silas and declare the word of God. Minus the naysayers, despite the naysayers, you're able to stand up boldly and declare. You're able to stand up boldly and live out this thing. Even when men don't want you to live out this thing, even when those spirits don't want you to call them out, you're still able to call them out. And sometimes you're able to call them out and don't even have to say a word. The Spirit of God will call them out. And that's what those spirits hate, when the Spirit of God calls them out. It's the best thing to preach and teach. That's why we talked about ministry last week. It's good to preach and teach, but it's very good to live the life. Because when you live the life, you're calling those spirits. When those spirits come towards you, those spirits are being called out, and you ain't even got to say a word. But you got to get the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You got to get it like the Bible says. You got to get it like the Bible declares we shall have it. He said, if you come up any other way, you come up as a thief and a robber. It's in the Bible. It's in there. It's in the Bible. Amen? You don't believe me? Let's go to the Bible. Let's go to the Word of God. I want to show you this. John chapter 10, verse number 1. Amen? We're going to show you this. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. You're a thief. If you try to come into salvation any other way, you are a sinner. Because a thief and a robber, they're sinning. They're a sinner. You're a sinner if you try to come up any other way. and you're a liar. If, what do you mean? You might say, well, what do you mean, Brother Adam? I'm not a thief. I'm not a robber. You robbing the word of God when you preach falseness. You're robbing people of their salvation. And you're sinning. You're a liar. And I'm just going to call it what it is. Anytime somebody preaches, we read it in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Fables. Anytime you try to mix a false word with true word, it becomes profane. It's a fable. A fable is a lie. You're a liar. And you're a liar in the sight of God. And the Bible declares a lie will not tarry in his sight. Amen? If you try to bring up somebody any other way, you're wrong. You're wrong. You preach any other gospel. There is no other gospel. Amen? Let's go there. I want to see the Lord. Lord is good, y'all. Lord is good. Let's go to, because I want to hit this, and before this is all over, I want to get some feedback from Spirit Alive real quick. But I want to hit this because we just read in John chapter 10 verse 1 that if you come up any other way into the sheepfold, try to climb up any other way, you're a thief and a robber. And do you know what? You know what you're doing? If a preacher preaches falseness, and I said this earlier, they're only preaching false doctrine for two reasons. Either they're in sin themselves, or they like the fame of preaching. They like the big memberships, and that's all they care about. So they want to steal the common salvation. They don't want the people to have their common salvation in the common sense. And when I say the common sense, I mean the spiritual eyesight. They don't want them to have it, so they tell them, hey, you can live any kind of way and still be saved. Because if they get the spiritual common sense, they might leave, and they don't want that. We just going to call it out today. They might leave. Amen? Well, and then they church going to take a hit. Amen? Amen? Let's look at this. Let's look deeper into this. There are many. Look, when you preach falseness, and this topic doesn't have a title to it. I guess we're listening to voices, listening to the right voice. Listening to the right voice. Amen. Do you know when you preach truth, no matter what the Bible says, preach it in season, out of season. That means preach it when people like it and when people don't like it. Preach it whether they got a big name. Preach it if they don't have a big name. Preach it if they big tithers. Preach it if they not big tithers. Preach it if they love it. Preach it if they don't love it. Because the word of God is going to do one or two things. It's either going to drive them closer to God, or it's going to drive them away. Amen? But we have to be diligent in the word of God. We have to be diligent with the word of God. And let me tell you something. You cannot be a preacher and be living any kind of way. Can't do it. You cannot do it. You can be evicted and don't even know that you were evicted. I'm going to say it again. You can be evicted because the Bible declares that if you keep preaching, this is why 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says what it says. If you keep preaching false doctrine, you can be evicted out of the body of Christ. You don't believe me? Look at the children of Israel. He was about to evict the children of Israel. You don't believe me? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. He said he called heaven and earth into record against you. He called heaven and earth into record against you. The children of Israel is about to be evicted because of the wrongdoing that they were doing, because of the falseness, because of worshiping other gods. And when we preach the wrong thing, we know we preach the wrong thing too. When you preach the wrong thing into the souls of mankind, and you know you're preaching the wrong thing, and God is keep knocking at your door, preach the right thing, brother. Preach the right thing, sister. Don't do that. Don't do that. Eventually, God's going to get tired. And he'll call heaven and earth to record against you. He'll do it. That's why 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 comes into play. He'll give you over to seducing spirits. That's why it said having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What does that mean? He'll turn you over to a reprobated mind. You'll be a reprobate, and then you'll be lost. He will evict you, and you won't even know. You'll be so tuned in to the spirit of the devil that you won't even know that you're evicted. You think that you're doing the work of God and you ain't really doing, you were doing the work of your flesh. We need to get it together. Body of Christ, get it together. Amen. We need to get it together. Now. Now is the time for us to get it together. I want to show you this in Galatians chapter 1. Because there are some preachers that try to preach, oh, it's okay for you to do this and it's okay for you to do that. And you can still be saved. That's another gospel. You can smoke, you can drink, you can do this, you can do that, that ain't what the Bible says. That ain't what the Bible says. You can cuss, you can do all this, you can pull tickets. You can go to the casino. You can gamble, you can do this, you can do that, and still be saved. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 19, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. These are the things of the world. Anything that pleases your flesh, don't do it. Because the Bible declares to us, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Amen? It's just that plain. It's just that simple. Let's read Galatians chapter 1, starting at verse number 6, because I want to show you this in the Word of God. Verse number 6 and verse number 7. In verse number 6, because they'll try to tell, a false preacher will try to tell you that you can live any kind of way. But let me show you something. That's another gospel. And the Bible declares that there is no other gospel. So I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, I observe that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. When you preach false doctrine, you have just now perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that say that they're Christians. There's a lot of people that say that they're Christian. The drunk on the street say he's Christian. Now, am I talking about the drunk on the street when I say that? No, I'm not. I'm not talking about them. I'm just giving an example. But everybody said that they're Christian. Do you not know that in Acts chapter 11, it shows us what Christians are? Acts chapter 11, verse 26. The first Christians that were ever called Christians. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. It gives us the outline of what a Christian is. Amen. But everybody's Christian now. You could do anything you want and still be a Christian. That ain't so. You could live any kind of way and still be a Christian. That's not so. Christian, the word Christian, and I've said this on the show before, the word Christian, it is an ambassador of Jesus Christ. It is the, it is to be Christ-like. Now, you're not Christ. Not saying that you are the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Bible declares, in the book of Leviticus and in, I believe it's 1 Peter or 2 Peter, that the Bible declares from us in 1 Peter that we should be holy for he is holy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, and in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7, and in verse 19, and in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, it lets us know that we should be like him. That is being a Christian. The disciples were called Christians at Antioch in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. They were the first people to be called Christians. Why? Because they had the Holy Ghost. They were like Christ. You cannot be a Christian without the Holy Ghost. They weren't called Christians. And you might say, Peter was a thug. Peter sliced off a man's ear in front of Jesus. He was a Christian. He did bad. Peter didn't have the Holy Ghost either when he did it. Peter didn't get the Holy Ghost until after Jesus died. Not immediately after Jesus died, but on the day of Pentecost. He preached it. Peter preached it. He received the Holy Ghost. Amen. A lot of them. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, on the day of Pentecost. And it wasn't until Acts chapter 11 when the disciples were called Christians after they received the Holy Ghost. So the only way for me to be, so you're saying, Brother Adam, the only way for me to be called a Christian, I got to receive the Holy Ghost. Yes, exactly. Exactly. You have to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost as they did on the day of Pentecost. Since we're getting in close to Easter, since Easter is on March 31st, let's get into it. Ain't gotta be Easter for me to talk about the resurrection of Christ. He bled, he died, he rose again for that moment. For the day of Pentecost moment. So the day for the house of Cornelius. Because those were the first Gentiles that were filled with the Holy Ghost at the house of Cornelius. Because all of them on the day of Pentecost were Jews. But all of them that are in the house of Cornelius, they were Gentiles. Amen. And everybody up to the house of Cornelius, up until now, that are considered as Gentiles, can receive the Holy Ghost. And the only way you can be a Christian and the only way you can live the life fully and preach it and teach it fully is if you have the Holy Ghost and walking in the Spirit of Christ. You can't do it. You can't do it without the Holy Ghost. Acts 2 and 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is why Colossians 3 and 17 said, whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because once you receive the Holy Ghost, everything about you changes. Everything about you becomes about God. That's why Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is where we get this from. This is why the Word of God says what it says. Because after you receive the Holy Ghost, everything about you changes. You have presented your body as a living sacrifice. You say, God, when you get the Holy Ghost, you tell God in your mind and in your spirit, you tell God, my life is yours. You were bought with a price. Your life don't belong to you anyway. Sinner man, your life don't belong to you. We like to preach Romans 8 and 28. We like to use that for good. Look, let me tell you something. You cannot preach Romans 8 and 28 without the Holy Ghost. You really don't understand Romans 8 and 28. And I know a lot of people like to preach Romans 8 and 28 and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. You know what God's purpose was? For you to receive the Holy Ghost. How do we know that it was God's purpose for you to receive the Holy Ghost? John 3:16, Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. 39 shows us that it was his purpose for us to receive the Holy Ghost. And this promise is unto you and unto your children and unto those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's verse 39. Right there. That's the promise. And this promise is unto you. But these false teachers don't teach that. These prosperity preachers don't teach that. They don't teach that. They don't teach you the salvation, the common salvation. They don't teach that. They teach the watered-down stuff. They'll teach you how to have a nice car. They'll teach you about having they'll prophesy all over the world and prophesying a bunch of nothing. You gonna get that car if you give me, if you send in that $1,000? I believe God. Oh, I hear the voice of God say you're gonna get that new car. When you gonna prophesy something of they gonna have a better prayer life? Uh-oh. Amen. I need to get into I want to go to my Spirit Alive family. If anybody has a comment or a question, if you're in the chat room, you can leave your comment or your question. We are open. In these last few minutes, I'm going to
Mr. Tuggle?
Take comments. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? I know that there are two things that God tells us to do in 1 Corinthians, and he tells us that, one, we have to pursue love among the brethren. We have to pursue love. And then the other thing we have to do is we have to desire spiritual things, which is absolutely in line with what you've been saying, because so many people are seeking stuff. And they're not seeking the stuff giver. And they don't understand that the only way to have the more than abundant life is to submit yourself to God's Son, Jesus Christ, make him your master, and understand that God will give you everything. And so you called on John chapter 3, verse 16, which is a powerful verse. And it says, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what we should be preaching, the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ, that makes it possible for people to come into the presence of God by acknowledging him as their Heavenly Father, but by making his Son, Jesus Christ, their master. And people are afraid to preach that for a lot of different reasons, but that's the word of God. So I want to commend you for standing on the word today, and keep going, man of God.
Yes, sir. And Bishop Carver, I thank you for saying that out of love part, because this topic today is not to bash anybody. This is out of love. And the reason why we preach and teach so hard is because we love God first. And the second is because we love to see souls saved, to come into the salvation that we have come up under. Amen. I want to see my brother saved. I want to see my sister saved. I want to see that little child saved, be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want anybody that's listening today, God can save you. If you do not have the Holy Ghost today, God can give it to you today. He can give it to you. He can give you the salvation that you need to live this life. The first Christians that were called Christians were the disciples. And you can be a Christian. You can walk in holiness. You can walk in righteousness. You can be an ambassador for Christ. You can tell somebody about how God saved you from your sins. You can't. I know some people that say, well, I won't receive the Holy Ghost because I don't want to be a hypocrite. And that's fine. That's fine. But the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. You got to try him and taste of him to see that if he is good for you, if it's good for your life. The Lord already knows that, hey, with this power that I'm getting ready to, with this power I'm going to give you, the power of the Holy Ghost, yes, it's good for your life. It's going to be good for your life. It's going to be a direction. It's going to be a keeper. It's going to be a sustainer. It's going to be whatever you need it to be. My spirit on the inside of you. And I say it sometimes that the Holy Ghost, I know a lot of people use Google. A lot of people use Google on a lot of things. We are some Google people. We are a Google generation now. And we use GPS. Amen. We use Google to look up things. We use Google to, you know, to get the GPS going. If we don't know where we're going, we use GPS, right? Well, the Holy Ghost is the same thing in our spiritual walk with him. He is our, see, we use Google to research stuff, to know about stuff, right? Well, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, is our spiritual, and I'm not saying he is Google, but you know what I mean. He is that spiritual insight on what we need to know about him, about our lives, about what we need to do with our lives. Amen. He gives us a new mindset on life. Amen. If we go to Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, it says that he'll renew our minds. Amen. He gives us a renewed mind, a new mindset. The only way for you to live in holiness and in righteousness is you have to have a made-up mind. Now, God's not going to force the Spirit upon you. I'm glad the Holy Ghost has taken me here, too. The Holy Ghost is not going to force itself upon you. You have to have a made-up and ready mind that you want to be saved. You have to have a made-up mind. And false teachers will tell you, all you got to do is, you know, do what Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, and that's it. That's all you got to do. That's what these prosperity preachers are teaching now. That's not all of it. I said it at the beginning of the show. How can you talk about something that you don't have? Until you get the Holy Ghost, you don't know the full extent of it. You know the things that God can do. But until you have experienced the experience, you really don't know what God can do. You don't know the full capacity of what God can do. It's good to know. Now, I told somebody a long time ago, and I know I'm almost out of time here, but I told somebody a long time ago because I was witnessing to a person, and they were like, they said, well, I know Jesus. I said, you do? I said, how do you know him? And they began to tell me how they knew him, and they began to tell me the good things that Jesus did for them. Well, okay, all right. I didn't knock them. That's what they know. No doubt about it. That's what they know. They know of him. They know of him. They know of his power. But they didn't know the full extent. And I said, okay. And I began to ask him, I said, you know, have you been baptized in Jesus' name? And And he said, oh, yeah, I've been baptized. I've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I said, okay. All right. I said, can you repeat to me what you just said? He said, yeah. I've been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I said, do you hear what you just said? He said, no. I just told you I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Look, you were baptized in the name of. See, the Bible says that you have to have your sins remitted in Jesus' name. The remission of sins comes through the name of Jesus, not in the name of Jesus, but in Jesus' name, in his name. Not of his name, but in his name. What is the name? It didn't come through the Father. It didn't come through the Son. It didn't come through Holy Ghost, because those are not names. Those are titles. But it comes through the name of Jesus. And today I want to tell you that if you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, as it states in Acts 2 and 38 and 39, if you are a child, if you are an adult, if you are a teenager, I don't care what age group you are in. That's where verse 39 comes in at. That promise is unto you, for you to repent of your sins. Repentance is only being godly sorry for every sin you've ever committed. Don't care what age group. Because we all came in this world in sin because of the fall of Adam. So you can be a morally good individual, and still you need your sins remitted. That's why Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, for the remission of sins. Amen. You have to have your sins remitted. You must be born again of the water and the Spirit. That Spirit is the Holy Ghost. He told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, he told Nicodemus that you must be born again. You might say, well, you might be a person that says, I was born this way. I was born like this. Yeah, you were. Yep, sure were. You were born a sinner. Yep, sure were. You were born in shape and in iniquity. But the Bible says be born again. Be born again. That's why the Bible declares for us to be born again of the water and the Spirit. To be born of the water is to be baptized in Jesus' name. And to be born of the Spirit is to have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you. I heard somebody say one time, well, I got him around me. Okay, that's great. It's good to have him around you. But I'd rather have him on the inside of me. He wants to walk in me. He wants to walk in you and live on the inside of you and direct you. Just like you get in your car on a day-to-day basis, that car can't operate without you being inside of it. That car can't move. Right. That car can't move correctly without you being inside of it, being the driver of that car, right? Well, your life can't move correctly. Otherwise, your life will crash just like that car. If a car is started and it's going down the street with nobody in it, that car is going to crash, right? That car is going to be tore up from the floor up. Without anybody inside of it. Well, your life is the same way. Without Jesus being on the inside of you and directing your life, that spiritual GPS, directing your life, your life will crash. Your life will crash. I hope this has helped somebody today. I pray that you that you got something out of this. I pray that you have a very, very blessed rest of your weekend. I pray that you have a very, very blessed week in Jesus' name. Listen to the right voice. The voice of Jesus is tenderly calling. He's tenderly calling. He's got his arms stretched wide open. The songwriter says, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just now, come to Jesus. He said that lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset. Anything that's hindering you from getting to God and getting to the common salvation that we talked about today, lay it aside. Lay it aside. If it's a sin, lay it aside. If it's a weight, lay it aside and come to Jesus. There's people that need rest today, spiritual rest, physical rest. There's some people, and I don't know why the Lord has taken me here in these last few minutes, but there's a person, you ain't been able to sleep. I don't know who I'm talking to. You ain't been able to sleep. But Jesus can give you rest. He said, come unto me that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You ain't been able to sleep. I can see it in the spirit. You can't, you won't be able to, you're not being able to sleep. Jesus is tenderly calling you. He's knocking at your door. I pray that you have a very, very blessed week. As my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, and since we're on the radio, if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the way to receive salvation. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace one day. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. From the Summit Internet Radio Podcast and the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network, we say, God bless you. And on behalf of the Spirit Alive Network, we say, God bless you, God bless you, and have a very, very blessed day and blessed week in Jesus' name. God bless you.